You know, the story of Christmas, wow, it is absolutely amazing. There is something that has always drawn mankind towards this story, the birth of Jesus. Matter of fact, all of history is defined around this one life, Jesus. Everything prior to the birth of Jesus, it's called BC, before Christ. Everything after is after his death, that all of history is brought into focus and in perspective because of this one life. It wasn't just another birth. It wasn't just like any other birth. It was the most unique birth that has ever occurred because it was the birth of the Savior. It was God coming to us in human form as a vulnerable baby, an infant. Wow. This is a part of God's plan, something that God had planned from the very beginning. And there were many who spoke on God's behalf, many prophets prior to the birth of Jesus that foretold, that prophesied of this significant, life-changing, world-altering event, Christmas. As we celebrate it here today, December 25th, and whether that was the actual day or not is not as important as the fact that what that day represented, that it did happen, that what many of the prophets had foretold long before was now being fulfilled when Jesus was born on that first Christmas morning. One of those prophets, Isaiah, in the Old Testament, spoke about the coming of Jesus 700 years before it ever occurred. I'd like for us to read a section of that scripture, and what an incredible night and evening it has been. I've been blessed because I've been a part of, this is my second service. And after completing the first service, I'm like, I can't wait to experience this again. The only sad thing for the rest of you, we're done till next year. So live on the high, because you know what? Everyone that has had a part, from the dancers to the musicians to the singing to the skit to the video, it has been incredible. Can we thank the Lord for that? It's been awesome. And we even partook of communion together. I mean, it's so appropriate to wrap up this evening by going to Scripture and reading it and then having a conversation around what we just read. Look at Isaiah chapter 9, beginning verse 2. The people who walked in darkness, mind you, this is 700 years before the birth of the Savior. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in the land of the shadow of death, upon them a light has shined. You have multiplied the nations and increased its joy. They rejoice before you according to the joy of harvest, as men rejoice when they divide the spoil. For you have broken the yoke of his burden and the staff of his shoulder, the rod of his oppressor, as in the day of Midian. For every warrior's sandal from the noisy battle and garments rolled in blood will be used for burning and fuel of fire. Poetic terminology that the prophet, as the Holy Spirit inspires him, is writing here. Verse 6. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. And of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end upon the throne of David and over his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment and justice from that time forward, even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. Ah, what an incredible section of scripture, because once again, this is Isaiah talking about what we now celebrate, the coming of the Savior. We look back 2,000 years to this event. They were looking in the future 700 years, and with stunning detail and accuracy, not only in Isaiah 9, but Isaiah 53 and many other sections of scripture, the birth of Jesus was foretold. Matter of fact, the very city that Jesus would be born in was foretold by Micah the prophet. And when Herod, the pagan king at the time of Jesus' birth, when he wanted to discover where Jesus was because he had ill intent, to harm the baby. He actually was able to locate where Jesus was based on Scripture, the veracity of Scripture, the truth of Scripture, the strength of Scripture that we can trust in, that we can build our lives around. Prophecy is one of the many aspects of the Holy Bible that allows us to have faith that it is not just any other book, it is God's book. Isaiah describes the coming of the Savior as someone who invades the darkness. You know, darkness is a predominant theme in our world today, isn't it? There is darkness, and it seems as though darkness is growing in its strength and in its influence. I was looking at some of the famous movies that have come out the last couple of years and how they had the same theme about darkness. Thor, it was called The Dark World. The last Batman movie was called The Dark Knight Rising. And Star Trek, a couple years ago, came out with their latest film, and it was Into Darkness. And I thought, there's a recurring theme here, and it's really the theme of Isaiah in Isaiah chapter 9. That the people were sitting in gross darkness. You see, when we come to celebrate the birth of Jesus, we know one of the traditions that we have is that we have lights and we put lights up and we have a Christmas tree with lights on it. And why such so many references to light? Because light represents Christ. And around Christmas time, the lights are a reminder to us that He was the light of the world, that He brought light into this world. Not only was He a light bearer, but He is the light of the world. And Isaiah said that the people were living in this dense, deep, gross darkness, and a great light has shined upon them. We can kind of relate to Isaiah in his time. Because we don't have to look very far, do we? We just have to turn on our television sets and look at the news, and we realize that we're living in times of great darkness. We're living in times of deep darkness. And there are plenty of reasons for us to feel as though we are sitting in darkness, like Isaiah described here in Isaiah chapter 9. What are some of the indications that we are living in a dark world? And at times it seems as though it's getting darker. Just look at the growing nuclear threat in our world today, with Iran on the road to acquiring nuclear weapons. North Korea already armed with nuclear weapons. You look at global terrorism and the spread and the growth of global terrorism. You look at cyber attacks, and just this past week, many people that shopped at Target realized that somebody was able to hack into their system, and a lot of people's identity has been stolen. These and other events that are unfolding in our world give us great cause for pause and for concern, and it reminds us that we're living in times of dense and deep darkness. If that wasn't enough, I read in the news this past week that the largest volcano in the world is under Yellowstone Park. And they said if it erupts, it would destroy all of the United States. So not only do we have to worry about a volcano, we have to worry about asteroids, you know, that are targeting planet Earth and that could annihilate us in a moment. And then outside of just the global threats that induces this sense that we are living in times of deep darkness, we just have to look at our own lives. The personal insecurity that some are experiencing this time of the year regarding their marriages, regarding their children, regarding their relationships, concerning their jobs, their health care, concerning their health, concerning their retirement, and the general state of our nation, both economically, morally, and spiritually. Yes, deep, deep darkness. We are experiencing it. And you know, when you're experiencing deep darkness in your life, what should you do? Pray to God, right? That He might free you from it. And if you're still in darkness, pay your electric bill. That does help also. The Christmas story gives us all rays of hope and rays of light. Everywhere we look, people are not just cursing the darkness, but they're lighting a candle. You know what I'm setting you up for, right? Here in about 15 minutes when we light our candles together one by one and we illuminate this sanctuary with all these lit candles as we sing Silent Night. And it's such a powerful, moving moment because it represents Jesus being the light of the world. But there are people that are producing some rays of light and rays of hope that are illuminating the darkness, that have surrendered their life to Christ, who's the light of the world, and then Christ, who came into the world, lights every man that believes in him and trusts in him. And then we become bearers of the light. And we become the light of the world, the salt of the earth. We become the extension of Christ in this world. You see, God has a kingdom. And Isaiah describes that Jesus is this wonderful counselor, mighty God, everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. And Isaiah describes this kingdom that will be established and this kingdom that will have no end, and that the zeal of the Lord will make this happen, will perform this. And you see, it were some of these very prophecies that turned many people away from Jesus 2,000 years ago. Because they were expecting, when Messiah arrived, they were expecting Messiah to establish a literal kingdom. One day he will establish a literal kingdom. Just as you and I are literally seated in this sanctuary Christmas Eve 2013, the kingdom of God will literally come to this earth, and Jesus will literally appear and will literally rule and reign. That time has been foretold. And just like the prophets were dead on and accurate concerning the first coming of Jesus, they will be dead on and accurate concerning the second coming of Jesus. But until then, you see, Jesus came to the world, and he came to first establish God's kingdom in the hearts of people. And that's what turned many people off. That's what turned many people away from Jesus, because they were expecting the Davidic dynasty, the kingdom of David, to once again be resurrected, and the tyranny and the rule of Rome and the yoke of bondage to be ripped from the necks of God's people, and once again the glorious kingdom of David to rule and reign in the earth. When Jesus stood before Pilate at his crucifixion, Pilate said, "Are you a king?" And Jesus said, "It is as you say, I am a king, but my kingdom's not of this world. For if my kingdom were of this world, my subjects would be defending me. They would be fighting for me." So Christ came at Christmas. He grew. He taught. He healed our sick, raised our dead, opened our blind eyes, and stopped our deaf ears, pointed us to the Father, and then died a brutal death. But on the third day was raised from the dead. Why? That's part one of the coming of Jesus. Why? So that God's kingdom could first come into our hearts. The kingdom of God is within you, Jesus said. And when we open our hearts to the Savior, the light of the world, he drives out the darkness that is in our own lives. And we no longer have to, as Isaiah described, be those that are sitting in deep darkness, in dense darkness, in gross darkness. He lights us, and in return, we can then begin to light others. We could begin to go through life, instead of cursing the darkness and pointing out what's wrong, we could begin to go through life lighting a candle and becoming part of the solution to the problems that are facing mankind. Become a part of the solution to the problems that are facing families. Become a solution to the problems that people in your own family are facing. Those that you will be interacting with over the holidays. Those that don't know Christ yet or have not yet fully surrendered their life to Christ yet. And we could be a light in their world that brings illumination. You could become a ray of hope in somebody else's life, because God wants to touch you so that you can touch somebody else. How many know that we all have some friends, we all have some family members, and they need the light of Jesus to be exposed to the light of Jesus this holiday season? Amen? And we can do that. We can do that in a non-judgmental way, in a non-critical, in a non-condemning way. How many know when you're right, you don't have to argue with anybody? And when you're right according to Scripture, you don't have to try to prove it. Just love people. Share Christ with them. They want to talk about this, or they want to talk about that. They want to get off topic, stay on topic, and the topic is Jesus. Yeah, but where'd all those people come from after Adam and Eve left the garden, you know? You know, where did Cain find his wife? And, you know, it's about Jesus, you know? It doesn't mean we don't answer those questions, but first things first. It's Christ that we need in our lives. It's Christ that ultimately makes the difference. And isn't it amazing that the miracle that has saved humanity, the miracle that will save untold tens and hundreds of millions of souls into God's kingdom, came in the form of a child. Never underestimate the role that a child can play and how God could use even the youngest that are among us today. Many of you have heard of you've logged on to the TED Talks, very popular. Their motto is ideas worth spreading. And one particular writer, presenter, gave a riveting talk about some of the remarkable people in the world today who happen to be minors and the difference that they are making. Once again, not just cursing the darkness, but lighting a candle. Take, for example, a Kenyan, a teenager who lives in Kenya was highlighted. His name, Richard. He feared that lions would devour his family's livestock. So guess what he did? He built an automated security system. He made a difference. He found a solution. This presenter talked about Jack, who is 16 years old, became angry about pancreatic cancer after it killed a family member. But instead of cursing the darkness, he lit a candle, bucking conventional wisdom about cancer testing. This youngster, this 16-year-old, developed a protein-based blood test that is much faster and more effective and cheaper than the current option. Instead of cursing the darkness, what did he do? He lit a candle. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. And this youngster, Jack, he did this at the age of 16, all the while he was dealing with homework, parents, and puberty. His plate was full, but he could still make a difference. Are you listening to me? What darkness seems to be around your life, around the life of those that you love? What darkness seems to be covering our nation right now as we are seated here? Gross darkness, deep darkness, many sit in that darkness, but a great light has shined. A great light has come from heaven. As Isaiah said, for a child has been born unto us, and a son has been given. God's solution was to send his son. Unlike any other child that's ever been born, unlike any other child that will ever be born, unlike any other son that has lived, for he was God's only begotten son. He was God that came to us in the form of a child. You see, Isaiah was talking about a time that was going to happen 700 years in the future. They had to wait 700 years. He was rejoicing, though, in advance, looking forward 700 years to the reality of this incredible child that would be born and this son that would be given, called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace. We don't have to wait. We look back to something that's already occurred, and that's why we celebrate Christmas, and that's why Christmas means so much to Christians all around the world, is because the waiting is no longer. The Son has come, and now He can come into our lives, and He could begin to live in us and with us and through us. The waiting is over. They had to wait 700 years for this to happen. That would be like all of us having to wait till the 28th century. What if I brought a message to you tonight and I said, if you can make it to the 28th century, you know, then this glorious promise can become a reality in your life. No, it can become a reality in your life right here, right now. Isaiah was telling us that Jesus is, that Messiah would be everything, and Jesus is everything. He is the light of the world. He is wonderful. He is counselor. He is power. He is eternal. He is peace. He is Father. He is everlasting Father. And the question tonight is, have you, my friend, received that light? Have you become a light bearer of the light of the world? You can never out-talk a crying baby. They're always priority. We love them. We love them. Because those are the cries that were heard 2,000 years ago, right? In a manger, in a small, obscure village, not even a town, a village. Maybe 100 people live there in Bethlehem. And the most significant birth that has ever occurred took place there. And a baby was born. The light of this dark world. When light invaded the darkness, everything changed. When His light invades your darkness and my darkness, everything can change. I need to ask you an important question. Maybe some of you are here because a family member invited you. Thank God for that family member. They care about you. Maybe you're here because you've been sensing some things in your own life are out of place. There's maybe some confusion, some questions that you're experiencing that you can't find answers for. You just sense that something is pulling and tugging on you. That something is someone, it's God that's calling you into relationship with Him. It's the Holy Spirit that's drawing you to the Father. For Jesus said, no man can come to the Father except the Spirit draw him. So if you're sensing that in your life right now, it's not by accident, my friend, and you're not here tonight by accident. The most important question is, yes, Jesus was born 2,000 years ago, but has Jesus been born in your heart? Just like there was no room for Him in the inn, and they had to go to a manger, that is a true story from the Bible. How many people have their hearts today so crowded that there's no room in their hearts today for Christ? Would all of us make room in our hearts for Christ? Well, those of you that are here tonight that have never surrendered your life to Him, you've never been born again, you see, Jesus came and He said this. He said to everyone, because God loves everyone. The most quoted verse in the Bible, many of you know it, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son that whosoever would believe in Him, whosoever, God loves the world and everybody in the world. If you'll simply believe in Him, you'll receive eternal life. That's verse 16. Verse 17 is almost equally as important because verse 17 says that God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but the world through Him might be saved. Are you in darkness? Would you like to receive the light of Christ in your own heart? I'm going to give you that opportunity. I'm going to lead you in a prayer, and the rest of us here in the church service are going to pray this prayer with you. You see, the Bible says if you'll confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved, period. That's Romans chapter 10, verse 9. That's God's promise. You say, well, how do I get saved? Do I have to jump through hoops? Do I have to, you know, join a church? Do I have to make membership? No. You simply need to turn to God in faith. You need to trust Him. You need to believe. You need to make confession with your own mouth and believe in your own heart. You see, Revelation 3:20, this verse is so incredible. It says that Jesus stands at the door of our heart and He knocks. And He's knocking right now. And if we'll hear Him, if we'll hear Him and open up the door of our heart, get this, Christ will come into you and He'll have fellowship with you and you can have fellowship with Him. And the light that came into the world can be the light that can come into your world by entrance of your heart. But you hold the key. There's not a knob on the outside of the door. There's only a knob on the inside of the door. This is the door to your heart. And Christ is asking you, will you open it up and allow me to come into your life? If that's you, I want you to pray this prayer. Every head bowed, every eye closed. If you need to rededicate your life to Christ, there's not a better time than this Christmas season, right before Christmas, tomorrow morning, for you to know that you're back in fellowship with God once again. Let's all pray this prayer together. Dear God in heaven, I know I'm a sinner in need of a Savior. There's only one Savior. His name is Jesus. I call upon You, Jesus. I ask You now come into my heart, come into my life, be my Lord, be my Savior. I turn from sin. I turn to the true and living God. I receive His love, His grace, and His forgiveness. Dear God in heaven, You're now my Father, and I am Your child. Fill me now with Your Holy Spirit and give me strength to live for You and serve You all the days of my life.